Good morning. Good morning. Glorious day out there. I hope you're able to get out and enjoy it. I want to thank the folks at South Coast Towing for getting me here this morning. Chris Medeiros, a really great guy, Prince Henry guy. What a great company. You should always have our app downloaded, and the sponsor of that is South Coast Towing. So that's a good company. If you're ever, God forbid, but it does happen, you're getting something where you need your car towed, you can tell the police officer, I want you to call South Coast Towing, and they will call. You can say the owner of the vehicle wants South Coast Towing, and they'll do it. So anyway, beautiful day out there. We're going to have a great show. Lenny Mills will be here in the next hour, returning from the Cayman Islands. We'll talk with Lenny. Of course, he's got a town meeting coming up in Rehoboth. We could talk to him about budging, all that stuff that's been going on. Tom Hodgson will be with us in the 11 o'clock hour. Next Monday, we'll have the current sheriff for Bristol County, Paul Heroux, here. Will be Monday morning at 10 o'clock. Always an enjoyable program. And I know a lot of you have questions for the current sheriff for Bristol County. And that's always a good program. So that'll be Monday. For the rest of the hour, be kind of open phones if it's on your mind. I want to hear about it. There's a lot going on. But yesterday, 8 o'clock in the morning, the retirement board for the city of New Bedford held a meeting. Now, I love the fact that they hold their meetings early in the morning. That shows you they're very active retirees, right? And not all the people on the board are retired. One of the members is our county treasurer, Chris Saunders, who's a practicing attorney and just a hell of a guy. I've known Chris for a very long time and consider him a friend. Chris Saunders is the appointee elected by the other members of the board, who, my understanding, are elected by their members, the police retirees, the fire retirees, and ask me retirees. And there are a couple of city employees by statute who are on there. The retirement board, Lenny Belageron, who's a retired police officer, he's elected by the police union to be the retirees member or the retired members of the union. Billy Sylvia is on there representing the fire union. And Bob Ekstrom is on there. And like I said, Chris Saunders is on there. And they had a meeting yesterday. Why do I bring this up? Well, the mayor has brought up the retirement board as part of his reasons for the big budget issues he's having in the city of New Bedford. Why was this meeting, why does it deserve the attention I'm giving it? Well, the mayor has been talking about the retirement board for a number of years here on the program. So I've been dipping in from time to time to cable access because those meetings are on there. And they're relatively short meetings. They can be really interesting, though. And yesterday's meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning, I got advance knowledge that it was going to be carried live by cable access. However, I could not get to the meeting through cable access because it was being live streamed on Facebook. Now, let me tell you something. I have never seen a meeting or heard of a meeting of the retirement board being live streamed. Live streamed on Facebook at 8 o'clock in the morning, which is when the meeting was registered for. You know, it was posted 8 o'clock in the morning. But cable access went up there to live stream the meeting on Facebook, which I don't believe, I could be wrong, but I don't believe that's ever been done before by cable access of the retirement board. I mean, I certainly welcome it because it's a lot less cumbersome for me as a regular user of Facebook to watch it that way. Normally, I have to go through cable access on the city website, and I can get hung up on the firewall. I've been telling you that. So, yesterday's meeting of the retirement board with Chris Saunders and Lenny Belageron and Bob Ekstrom, Billy Sylvia, all talking about the budget issue, was carried live on Facebook and memorialized forever and ever. Forever and ever, amen. As Randy Travis sang, written by Paul Overstreet, forever and ever, amen, right? Now that retirement board meeting is on Facebook, recorded forever, and it will obviously be on cable access as well. You can see that through the city website. And if you have cable in the city of New Bedford, I don't believe it plays anywhere else besides New Bedford, but I could be wrong. Maybe a cushion. I don't know. It does not play in Fairhaven. Fairhaven cable access does, but New Bedford doesn't. But anyway, my point is, did anybody see the retirement board meeting? The comments from Lenny Belageron, the comments from Billy Sylvia from the firefighters, who's a, you know, who's been a guest here on the program, Chris Saunders, they really took the administration to task calmly. It was a very professional meeting. Bob Ekstrom, who's the CFO, he got a little offended by some of the comments that he felt were personal towards him by Chris Saunders. I didn't take it that way. I thought they were professional comments. I agreed with the chairman, Lenny Belageron, who basically said, Bob, I'll give you time as the chairman to speak, but recognize that Chris was speaking about the administration, and you happen to be a member of the administration. It wasn't about you personally. It was about the actions of the administration, of which you're a member. So Lenny Belageron, a longtime member of the police department, retired for quite a while now, cautioned Bob Ekstrom that, hey, that really wasn't about you personally. Don't take it that way. Attorney Saunders was speaking about the administration. But I encourage you, I know a lot of you have seen it, because I could see the comments on Facebook. And I got all the phone calls. I got the text messages sending me that video. I mean, it was from yesterday morning going forward, well, yesterday afternoon anyway, in my world, it was all the talk of the city and the region, really. And what I'm curious about is why cable access live streamed it. In other words, what were the dynamics that got cable access to go up there at 8 o'clock in the morning to live stream a meeting that they've never, in my opinion, my factual recollection of cable access and the retirement board tells me they've never live streamed a meeting before on Facebook. But it was really worth it. I wish they would do that more often, because the meeting was really interesting and it dovetailed with what the mayor has been saying about the retirement board. Certainly put it all in perspective when the retirement board answered that. So, 508-99. Did anybody see the retirement board meeting on Facebook and what went on there, the comments made, particularly by the county treasurer, Chris Saunders, his local attorney? His wife is an assessor. His father buried many of our family members. His brothers still do it. Saunders Funeral Home. Wild, wild meeting. Controlled, professional, but certainly something that's going to reverberate. Oh, and by the way, if you've seen the meeting, you know that this program was a good part of the conversation not only what the mayor has said here on Wednesdays, but again, Christopher Hendricks, a state representative from the city of New Bedford, a Democrat, a lawyer, like Chris Saunders, a Democrat and a lawyer. His comments about the retirement board were brought up and addressed by Chris Saunders. And it really is worth watching. 508-996-0500. You can see it on Facebook through the cable access. You can see it on cable access as well through the website. Really interesting stuff. Maybe more of the citizen journalists that are out there. That's the only way. Like Carlos Felix, he normally will do live streaming. New Bedford Guide will do live streaming of meetings, public meetings. It's really a valuable contribution to the journalistic product that goes on in this area. But for the first time ever, I saw cable access live streaming on Facebook the retirement board meeting. Take a break, and then we'll be right back. If something's on your mind you want to hear about, I want to hear about it. Certainly I do. Tom Hodgson will be here at 11 o'clock. Lenny Mills will be returning from the Cayman Islands. Will be here at 10 o'clock. We'll have a lot of fun this morning. You can join in at 508-996-0500. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. In my exuberance, I screwed up some last names. It's Billy Cabral, not Billy Sylvia. That both firefighters. Billy Sylvia has been a contributor to the program. Harry called in when the mayor was on. I think that's what was my confusion. You know, but there is no confusion about what you should do to keep your automobile in good running order. Bring it to the family-owned business, Mack Auto Sales. Mack Auto Sales and Repair is on Rivet Street in the city of New Bedford. Mack Auto Sales repairs all makes and models of automobiles, including the one you're driving right now, if you'll let them. They do a wonderful job updating automobiles for the coming changing weather. It's his New England. Just wait a minute. If you don't like the weather, it will change. We're going to get into some real hot weather, and you got to make sure your automobile is prepared to survive it. Call Mack Auto Sales and Repair today and make an appointment. 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays, 9 to 5. You're driving a foreign car, that's perfect. Mack Auto Sales specializes in servicing foreign-made automobiles. They do a wonderful job with American-made as well. Mention WBSM, they'll give you an ice break on the repair bill. They repair all the vehicles here from Fun 107 to WBSM, our entire fleet. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and the quality used cars for sale at Mack Auto Sales. So, my interest really is, why did cable decide to live stream that meeting? Yes, at 8 o'clock in the morning of the retirement board. And look, I think the more information is better for everybody. And literally, it's worth your time, okay? It may be a little bit out of your normal way of doing things, watching videos on Facebook or going to the website for the city, cable access, finding the retirement board and watching it. Let me tell you something. Lenny Bellageron, a retired police officer, brings up the fact that some of the retirees that they represent in the city of New Bedford are eating cat food. They are eating cat food. That's what Lenny Bellageron, who has certainly a lot more information about his retirees than I do, talking about the widows and orphans part of the, because they break it all down. Lenny breaks it all down. Who these people are, how many there are, what they're actually making. Okay? And that some of them are eating cat food because that's how little their retirement is bringing in. And with everybody understanding how much prices have gone up, that's what they're reduced to doing. And he talks about, again, I'm encouraging you to watch this video. How many of them utilize PACE as an example, or food stamps as an example, and they have to have income verification to access those poverty programs, retired city workers. So it is worth, I think, your time to learn that information, because I know you're all compassionate and you want the best information. 508-996-05. And open phones if it's on your mind. I want to hear it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, my friend.
What's happening?
Don't confuse those Billy Cabrals, Billy Sylvias, and Billy Silvers. You'll get better be very confused if you do that. But nonetheless, I did not see this thing with the retirement board. I catch it when I can on cable. But I did catch the budget meeting of the city council that was held a few nights ago. And that was pretty interesting to me. Would you like to hear or you want to?
No, go ahead.
Okay. What I noticed was that the city council complained, some of the members, that they didn't get the budget given to them as they used to. And the X-Man, Bob Ekstrom, got up there and said that, well, this was an effort to try to be concise. And so in trying to be concise, what we did was we have some of the information now on digital, on the digital, and some of the members didn't like that at all. Even though they got a smaller packet, the digital thing now means that they got to jump from the digital, I guess, if they want to find something, to the paper which they had in front of them. So they weren't happy with that at all. And I just thought, again, it was like the outlaw Josie Wales. Well, Josie, we outfoxed them again. The mayor and his people seemed to thought that would be better, but I think it kind of confused some of the city council people that were there because they were used to having the big thing that they got. And again, yeah, I thought that was a way of trying to keep some of the information from the members. I don't know now if they're going to have to put a tablet on their desk as well as they shuffle through that. I thought that was a mode of contention. And again, Bob Ekstrom, who I call the X-Man, who I'm amazed at all the stuff that the guy keeps in his mind, to tell you the truth. He was the one that was confronted with that issue.
So moving from paper to digital has...
On some of the things, not everything, but on some of the things. It was done for the purpose of concisement, you know, being concise, okay? But the members of the council, some of the members of the council, found that to be keeping information from them. So I thought it was quite a move. Also, there was talking about the number of people that the mayor had in his staff. They was pointed out that in the staff that supports the mayor, like the chief of staff, I guess it's Neil Mello, I think that's his name.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, we have staff that we need. And they said, well, Farmer only has four people. You have six. And why wasn't there any cuts there? And that was a part of contention as well. So I thought that was interesting, too, that the mayor needs six. And again, they pointed out, well, you're getting rid of a fireman, but you're not getting that you know, there for the public, but you're not getting rid of anybody in the, I guess, the mayor's office that support the mayor, you know. So what say you, my friend?
No, I get it, and it is a good political point, and it's a fact. I mean, obviously, he's got a big staff. Some of those people over there make pretty good money. And you say, well, we're laying off firefighters and not hiring police, and
yep,
those are direct service for public service for my
yep
constituents and the whole city. That doesn't make sense to me as a city councilor. But even if you laid off the whole staff of the mayor's, which would be ridiculous, obviously, you still
well,
wouldn't have enough
money.
Well,
the mayor has a lot
money
of buffers. You know, like in the movie, he's got quite a few buffers there.
The family
so that way,
has
before
a
you
lot
get to
of
the mayor,
buffers.
You got to go through his buffers.
Right. No, I
you know,
know
that comes from.
No,
I'm
I
sure.
do. Yeah, the hearing, the Senate hearing, the family had a lot of buffers. That's Godfather too.
Yeah, he's got a lot of buffers. So that's what, and I feel for those guys because they go up there, and just like you're talking about the retirement board in Ekstrom, they go up there and they take the buffer beating, for the mayor basically, and the mayor doesn't directly have to deal with him. He does whatever he does, and I really feel for I think it's Neil Mello and the X-Man that was there as well, and Ekstrom. And I respect him because I don't know how he keeps all this stuff in his head. I remember they used to praise Ari Sky. I used to call him Ari Sky High because everything was sky high every time he was there. Well, that hasn't changed. And I often wondered why Ari left. He was praised so much. And I think Ekstrom's done the mayor's bidding as well. Maybe him leaving had something to do with the way the things were going. I don't know.
Well, when you get hired by the mayor's office, mm-hmm. who's democratically elected, yeah, you'd have to do his bidding. Otherwise, yes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I understand what you're saying, mm-hmm. but like that's how our system works. If you get hired by the selectmen in Fairhaven, you got to do what they want you because that's who the people elected.
Well, hopefully, I know you had a town manager there that was doing what the town manager wanted to do and not the selectman, which is a bad thing, I think. But over here again, just working, for the mayor and going there and again, they pointed out on the city council that this wasn't personal. It wasn't against you. Just business, nothing personal, just business. And in their criticisms of what was going on. And so that was pointed out too at this meeting. But I was lucky to get it. I didn't know it was on because I've been totally on the cable, and I happened to get it. And so I thought it was kind of an interesting meeting. But the idea of digitalizing some of these things, I don't like the digital world, as you know. And again, I like to have things right in my hand. On the weekend, I talked to Marty Tredup. I think he was on. Maybe not on the weekend. It was probably in the morning with.
He was on with Tim.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. You got it right. And I had a friend of mine print up things off the computer about people who are like me, senior citizens, and trying to get an abatement because of senior citizenship and our low pay. And I have the papers right in front of me. And I know Marty, he probably doesn't know me from years ago. We played basketball down at the Tombaugh courts there at in Ashley Park. And he would start, he's a little bit older than me, so, but he was a good basketball player. Okay. And the statutory exemptions, and you can get, exemptions if you're a widower or aged or also if you're elderly. I didn't know the difference between the elderly and the widowed. And the if you're a veteran, you can get an abatement, but you got to go through all kinds of hoops, Well, having the papers in front of me, I could read them off one right at a time,
Right.
And so that's good. When you start to say, well, let me go back between my digital thing here and be going back between a computer, you know how that is when you go on and ask somebody to answer you something on the phone. They got to wait for the computer to boot up and it's not loading and all that sort of stuff, And even as a New Bedford police officer or a spouse, if you're having some problems, children, there's requirements and different kind of abatements you can get from the city. But I asked Marty, I said, Marty, how many abatements does the city give for older people? He says, off the top of his head, and I believe him, he said, 900. And I said, 900 out of a city of 100,000? That's not very many, is it? So that's a lot of hoops to jump through, Yeah, he says it's like 1% abatements for elderly people, because of the requirements you got to follow. So really, it's an abatement that I don't think many people can really get. I know I tried years ago for my mom, but it's kind of tough.
And also, there's a lot of people who, at a certain age, no longer own their home. They move into a residential facility, or they're in government housing. And so it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, but out of a city of 100,000, Chris, come on.
Well, how many public housing units are there? I don't know.
I'm not saying public housing. I'm just saying I know myself. I bought my house. I didn't make a lot of money.
Right.
put enough to, you know, and part-time job after and everything to try to come up with the extra money. And I still think out of a city of 100,000, I'm sure there's a lot of elderly that own their homes, and it's more than 900, you know. And it, like you said, 1%, you know. There's one here for veterans, too, of a disabled veteran. You could get and if you're blind, you could get some sort of abatement. And it's all different requirements and stuff. One of the funny things, too, is about the money that, you know, there was some specific, if you had less than, you couldn't exceed $82,838.27. I don't know how they came up with that, you know. So, but again, I know, too, the state says it's the city's fault, and the city says it's the state fault when you apply for these things, but that's a whole other conversation. But, again, back to the city council thing.
Yes,
it was pretty interesting what went down, and I don't know if you've got to see it yet, too, but I didn't catch the full meeting, but, again, it was interesting. I just thought the new digital format to try to make things concise with the budget, to make it easier for the members of the city council, I had to laugh. I don't see what's the problem with printing out 11 documents, you know. And even, you know, my eyes aren't that good because I'm older, and I know I have to do the 1040 SR for seniors. It's bigger print for, you know, when I file my taxes and stuff like that. So, you know, just make something up with bigger print, that's all. So people can see it, and you can get all the stuff out there.
Thanks. Thank you so much, my friend. Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend. It's Friday here on the program. So I got an answer from John Darling, who, you know, works for the mayor. The retirement board had, because I was opining or wondering out loud, why was it Zoomed? Why was it live streamed on Facebook? And obviously, the listening at City Hall, as all of you are, the retirement board had it did not have a Zoom option on the agenda for the 8 a.m. COLA meeting. So I reached out to Eric Cohen to ask if there was a Zoom option, and he didn't get an answer. So cable streamed it to give residents a virtual option to watch the meeting. So I appreciate that answer from John Darling. So that's great. All right. So that is the reason why the meeting was live streamed on Facebook. It was a request of the mayor's office to carry the meeting on Facebook, which I thought was marvelous because, again, in my opinion, more information, particularly from elected and appointed officials, is better than less. And many of us, we've been listening to the mayor talk about the retirement board, and I do because I consider it part of my responsibility to go watch the meetings when I'm not on the radio. I do it so you don't have to, but I appreciate that John Darling sort of closed the circle there because the mayor's been talking about it, talked about the upcoming meeting. And so John Darling, who's a very good media representative for anybody he works for, but currently the city, John Darling reached out and then didn't get something he wanted. So he made it accessible by asking cable access to go there and live stream it on Facebook. So you, the residents, the retirees, the taxpayers of the New Bedford could watch it on Facebook. So that's great. And it'll be there up on Facebook through the cable access and on cable through the cable. So anyway, local stuff, very important. State stuff, very important. Yesterday, the state Senate voted to release the records to be audited, okay? So the auditor got 72% of us to vote for her ballot question to audit the legislature. The only Democrat to vote with the Republicans on the audit resolution in yesterday's session for the documents that she asked for was Mark Montigny, okay? Senator Montigny said release it all. He voted with the Republicans, Bruce Tarr and all the Republicans, to release the documents. So I think that's important. Senator Montigny, as a regular contributor to the program, but more importantly, like you, a regular listener to this program. So he gets a sense from you, the callers, and he's out there all the time talking to people, but he has a sense of what you want him to do, and he's acting on it. So I do appreciate that from Senator Montigny. Again, the first and one of the only Democrats to vote against giving more money to the shelter system, right, for the illegal aliens, was Senator Montigny. So we do appreciate that. From Senator Montigny, a powerful, long-standing Democrat siding with Kelly Dooner and Bruce Tarr and Ryan Fatman and the few Republicans that are in the state Senate. And hopefully there'll be more coming forward to work with Senator Montigny. But that's entirely up to the Republicans, really, and you, the unenrolled voters, and some Democrats that do cross the aisle and vote Republican. So, very important day yesterday in the state Senate. So, we'll take a break and then we'll be right back. Did you get a chance to watch the retirement board conversations, the meeting? Very important meeting. The mayor drew our attention to it. Cable Access covered it live. Very informative meeting. Stick around. We'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. Welcome back. I'm Chris McCarthy. Beautiful day out there. We're going to have a lot of fun today. If you want to join us, you can. It's 508-996-0500. The budget debate still continues. But a lot of it is going through the motions. I hate to say it, but I really think maybe it's too soon to come to this conclusion, but I really don't think Station 9 is going to survive, not for more than a few months. Senator Montigny certainly made a heroic lift by taking a hold of the budget, adding an amendment for $500,000, and putting in the language, which is very important. The money can only be used for the fire personnel and the apparatus at Station 9 in an effort to save Ward 1 and Ward 2 for fire coverage. But this deficit, $32 million, is enormous. And I know the city council is really working hard to try to find the money by cutting it from other places. But at the end of the day, it's what the mayor sees is the only way to handle the solution, handle the problem, right? The mayor's got incredible discretion. So they're trying, the city council, but I just don't know if they're going to be able to make it happen. We'll see. They got a big lift from Senator Montigny. Now, yesterday, I talked quite a bit, and so did Tim, about Brian Gomes' motion to invite the inspector general to come in and do a forensic audit of the city's policies and procedures for financial matters and how, as Brian Gomes says, we went from a surplus to a huge deficit. in a matter of a couple of months, right? And he wants the inspector general to look into it. Now, here's the thing, and I talked about it yesterday. I'm all for the inspector general coming in. It's great for my business. I think it's important for you, the taxpayers, to get another set of eyes on this. But Brian Gomes and the city council are not spectators. They shouldn't be anyway. They've been making budgetary decisions, in the case of Brian Gomes, since before Mayor Mitchell came on the scene. And Brian Gomes goes back to, I think, Rosemary Tierney. I could be wrong. Could be just Fred Kalis, but the late Fred Kalis, who we all miss, really a hell of a guy. And a regular listener to this program and contributor behind the scenes. I still miss Fred Kalis. But anyway, the city council has been making financial decisions. Chris Saunders yesterday talks about all the pay raises. And this is why, again, you have to watch the live stream of the retirement board. That live stream was unique and requested by the Mitchell administration for you, the public, to get the full story. One of the points Chris Saunders, who's elected as the county treasurer, but also a member of the retirement board, points out that all the raises that were given to the Unit C employees, which, look, people have to be paid, and you have to pay them to retain them. There's a limited number of talented municipal employees out there, and other municipalities do compete for them. And I know there's been a number of them that communities like Lakeville and Fairhaven have plucked out of New Bedford over the years for their experience and their knowledge. And the towns, I'm thinking of Vinnie Furtado, for one, came out of New Bedford and is here in Fairhaven, and we're lucky to have him. So Mayor Mitchell and the city council gave them pay raises to try to retain them, these Unit C employees. But Chris Saunders points out that that has an impact on the retirement fund. So again, I think it's really worth your time to check that out. Bass Ready Rooter is now hiring drain and sewer technicians to join their quickly growing Bass Ready crew. Experience is preferred, but they are willing to train anyone with the right attitude. What a great opportunity. Learn more and apply now at BassReady.com. Why would you want to work for Bass Ready? Why would you want to use Bass Ready? Bass Ready Rooter? Well, Bass Ready Rooter has been a family-owned business since 1974. 50 years they've been offering consumers same-day solutions for drain and sewer clogs. That's a remarkable legacy, right? Remarkable reputation. If you have a drain or a sewer clog, stress builds fast, pressure builds fast, not only in the drain, but in your mind. So you want to have this phone number, 508-995-8012. That's Bass Ready Rooter. Write it down. That's the phone call you need to make when you have a drain or sewer clog. 508-995-8012. Or go to BassReady.com. We'll take a break and then we'll be right back. Stick around. Back to the program. Boy, I just can't get over how nice the weather is out there. And I credit Lenny Mills Jr. for bringing it back from the Cayman Islands. Maybe that's giving him too much credit, but I don't think so. I think we all owe Lenny, and he'll be on with us in the 10 o'clock hour, a debt of gratitude for this beautiful, beautiful weather and the budget situation, along with his colleagues out there in Rehoboth. No problems, I don't think, for them out there. But we'll talk with a lot of stuff with Lenny. We'll talk about the Cayman Islands, all that great stuff. And, of course, he arranged my interview with Paul Overstreet, legendary singer-songwriter from the country music world, and inducted this year into the Country Music Hall of Fame. That's one of the podcasts that's available for free for you if you didn't, if you missed it earlier in the week. Everything we do here is a podcast. If you missed the interview with Representative Chris Hendricks, and you shouldn't, you could check it out. That podcast is available as well, wherever you get your podcasts. Again, the meeting that was live streamed yesterday at the request of the Mitchell administration on Facebook of the retirement board, there's multiple comments about the news that is made here on WBSM. And I appreciate Billy Cabral referencing it, Chris Saunders referencing it, Lenny Blasgeron referencing it. But Chris Saunders points out, as other people have pointed out to me as well, that Chris Hendricks was wildly incorrect, not just about illegal immigration and his love of the illegal aliens and all immigrants, really, but also about the retirement fund, that he said if they had moved into the state system as opposed to staying with the New Bedford system, that they'd be fully funded by now. And Chris Saunders, an attorney, our county treasurer, and a Democrat, a different kind of Democrat than Chris Hendricks, in my opinion. Both are friends. But Chris Saunders points out that Chris Hendricks is wildly incorrect about his opinions of the pension system, that the state system is better than the New Bedford system. And he goes on to defend the work, rightly, of the New Bedford retirement system. And it's just a really important meeting. You should check it out. All right. There's a really interesting article in the New Bedford Light about the state Senate. You should check out. We'll have the robot read it to us.
Massachusetts Senate proposes historic increase in local aid. Is it enough? By Jamie Perkins. Cities and towns across the South Coast are counting pennies as they craft their fiscal 2027 budgets. New Bedford Mayor John Mitchell has proposed shuttering Fire Station 9. Fairhaven elected officials are asking the town meeting to raise property taxes. Dartmouth Town Administrator Cody Haddad warns of potential service cuts a year from now. Local officials across the region point to the same challenge. They say the state is not providing enough local aid. The Senate recently proposed a $53 million increase, or roughly 3%, in unrestricted local aid. But while senators celebrate this historic amount, towns and cities are struggling to make ends meet. Greater New Bedford area faces budget challenges. New Bedford is facing a projected $32 million deficit, according to Mitchell, who plans to address it with higher taxes, layoffs, and service cuts, many of which city council members object to. Mitchell proposed closing Fire Station 9, leading firefighters to protest. Last week, Senator Mark Montigny, D. New Bedford, secured $500,000 in the Senate budget to keep the station open temporarily, though the budget still has to go to a conference committee with the House. Mitchell told the Light that the city has become much more efficient, including saving millions on energy costs because of its solar energy program. But with insufficient state aid, he said these efficiency measures can't make up the difference. He described the Senate's proposed increase as a drop in the bucket. Fairhaven Town Administrator Keith Hickey said balancing municipal budgets has become increasingly challenging, partly because of inflation, but also because of unfunded mandates from the state. I think the state would acknowledge that the revenues they provide to communities is not what was anticipated when some of these formulas and funding resources were first established, Hickey said. Fairhaven is facing a $649,000 budget deficit in its 2027 fiscal year, which begins July 1st. town officials plan to seek a Prop 2.5 override, a permanent increase in property taxes, from the town meeting to cover the shortfall. Hickey predicted that the town will do the same in fiscal 2028. The town has proposed eliminating the tourism department and a handful of full and part-time positions. Hickey added that if the state doesn't provide relief, Fairhaven may have to make cuts to public safety in fiscal 2028. Haddad, Dartmouth's town administrator, said it's undeniable that the state has underfunded municipalities across the Commonwealth.
So, you can go to the New Bedford Light, newbedfordlight.org, and read the rest of that article, or have the robot read it to you. Look, if you do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, you're going to get the same results, right? Or rather, you do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, that's insanity. So, we have an option to change out our governor. I think we ought to really seriously consider that. Where did the money go? Well, you know you can't spend the same money twice, right? You can't. And Governor Healey and many of the representatives, you heard Chris Hendricks, he's extraordinarily passionate about helping foreigners, okay? That wasn't an act. He's extraordinarily passionate about it. And I appreciate his honesty. But that's where the money's been going. We're paying for their lawyers now. I mean, it's really gotten out of control. But you have an option to either sign off on it and reelect Mara Healey,